actually a long, deep time at this church. She's known Emilio and Claudine for quite a while. And one of the things I appreciate most is what I've seen in her. This is her last Sunday with us as worship director. And we're going to have time after the worship service with coffee, some dessert, another opportunity for sugar for those of you who want that coffee. We're going to have just a time to thank her and to celebrate with her. But she and Emilio and Claudine are going to come up here and share more about worship with us. And this is a woman who has learned how to worship God, a woman who's learned how to lead others, and she's going to share with us. Emilio and Claudine have been part of that journey. And it reminds me of a couple of scriptures. One of them is where Paul says to Timothy, "Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you." This is a woman who's fanned into flame the gift of God which is in her. And the Lord has more for her, more fanning of her flame, this gift that he's given her. And she has more to offer that she's going to continue to be able to do. But in the meantime, we're privileged to benefit from her leadership, to benefit from her heart for the Lord and her worship, and to hear from Emilio and Claudine, who've invested in her over the years and saw something in her years ago and said, we're gonna disciple. We're going to carry on the mission of Christ in the heart of this young person who's saying yes to Jesus. So I really look forward to learning more about worship and continuing in worship, just like Tori was saying. So you guys come on up here. Bring your chair. I'll get a chair for you guys.
Hi, church. Oh, man, guys, I'm so sad. I'm, like, happy. I'm like, grateful for the presence of God this morning. Grateful for all of you, but man, I'm also sad. But God is good.
Amen. I guess I'll start. I kind of feel great here during the sermon. Makes me look like I'm going to preach.
You're preaching? You always preach in song.
But I'm not. So to start this off, we've been here for 10 years. For those of you that don't know, we're from South Africa.
Really?
That's where the accent is from. And, can't believe that when we got here, you were like 13.
13.
13.
Like Anna size.
14
almost.
Years old.
Just like Anna.
And since then, we've, I think with many along, many others, with many others, we've had the privilege of walking with you. So this morning, we're gonna kind of have a conversation and trust the Lord where it's gonna go, and hopefully your hearts will be opened. And also, what we about kingdom and young people, and I don't wanna start crying, but yeah, we've walked the road with Tori, and we've just seen her grow leaps and bounds. And one of the things that stands out for me is just her heart and the humility, and just the, in this day and age, I mean, Tori is, she's very intelligent. She can become anything she wants to be. Ask her dad. And for her in this day and age to choose, I mean, we all choose Jesus, but for her to choose to go the way she's going is so commendable, and it's so, ministry is so, it's hard at times, but the Lord has called her, no doubt.
Hard at times?
All the time. Most of the time. And also, the mere fact that she's not called for, I want to keep her here. So I've been praying for a husband, guys, pray with me. But I guess we have to let her go with her parents. We have to let her go because she's called for the nations. And there's no doubt that she's called for the nation. So we're going to start off and just go from there.
Thank you, Claudine. That was beautiful. Thank you so
Pleasure.
Much. It's fantastic. Yeah, so just to clarify, Claudine's going, Tori is going back to school just to go and finish up her master's. Tori, what's the master's in again?
It's a master's in theological studies.
Okay, yeah. So she'll be done next summer. Okay, great, yeah. So that's where she's going, actually. So we'll be hopefully seeing a lot of her in between the year when she's gone. But that's where she's going. Everyone's like, where's Tori going? And because of that, she needs to wrap up certain responsibilities she has here, like at the, sorry, Greg, I'm messing it up here. at the church and sort of with YFC as a ministry leader. But she's not done with us. This is still a home church, and she's still part of the ministry that she's doing here. She's just going away for a bit, but we want to make it official. So the idea was she needs to share a little on worship because that's her main study at school, and that's what she's doing, and that's what she's pursuing as a calling on her life. But this morning we were going to supposed to interview a couple of questions and then her share instead of her standing there and doing the whole want to preach. But she, you know, this is a better approach. And we'll kind of get in the middle of it with a few things that we've experienced with her and things like that. So I'm going to start straight up with the first question, Tori, right? Okay. Tell all of us in this room, what is worship according to you based on everything?
Okay, worship is a lot of things. To simplify it, it is beholding God or focusing on God and responding to God. So responding to his glory, to his majesty, to his love, to his actions, his salvation, just beholding God in all of his majesty. There's no other thing. Like, there's no way that you can just behold him and stop there. There is always a response. And sometimes that response really is just almost beholding itself, you know? Just the beholding, just the stand still and see, you know? Worship can also look in response to the glory of God, to fall at his feet, to adore. I was just looking on my research app, and it gave all of these things, to kiss his feet, to adore, to bow, to fall down, to fear God. To worship is sometimes to have fear, have the fear of the Lord. It's to give glory. I love that one, to give glory. And it's also to turn to God, but also to turn away from false gods and sin. It is also to serve. It is sometimes to fast. There's this metaphor of feeling one's way toward God, of you can't see God, so you're feeling your way toward God. I think that's kind of a cool image. Sometimes, especially when we're in the dark nights of the soul, you know, when everything and around us just feels so dark and so unknowable and we just can't get it, then those are the moments when we just, you know, we feel our way toward God. It's also to offer. Paul says in Romans 12:1, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. So our true worship is to offer our bodies to God, to say, okay, God, to the best of my ability, I'm going to love you with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm. Sure. Yeah.
That's the scripture in Mark 12.
Yeah, Mark 12.
Yeah.
Which, it's an echo of God's command to Israel back in the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. God commands Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, right? Heart, soul, and strength. And they add mind. Jesus added mind in the New Testament because the word for heart in Hebrew encapsulates heart and mind. That honestly could be a whole sermon in itself. It's so cool, like all of those little words and what they mean.
I like that a lot. Claudine has a question, but before you ask a question, Claudine, just on that piece, today's Sunday morning, and I think we had an amazing time in worship this morning, didn't we? Yeah. Right? And it was a tangible presence of the Lord, I feel. And one thing, years ago, in one of the conferences I was at, one of the speakers made this comment and said, you can never really take people where you haven't been before. Like, I think in general, ask Richard as a guy who hikes, he leads people, yeah. And he's like, hey, I know the trail. But even in worship, you know, you can't go that deep without having been there on your own and in your own time with God and things like that. But my question is, after this amazing experience, Monday's coming tomorrow, and life happens, and work, and school, and college, and that, you know, and you don't feel like doing what happened today when everyone was in the room, and the music's great, and, you know, the presence of the Lord's here, you know, what do you do then? with that whole idea of heart, mind, soul, and all your emotions, and what is worship then?
Yeah. Just as a thought. I was talking to a fellow worship leader the other day, and going back to the worship that is music, that portion of worship, and he was just, we were just talking about how sometimes you don't feel it, you know, like, what do you do then? And he said that he had a mentor tell him, just show up. And sometimes that's all you can give, is just to show up. And sometimes that, those mornings when you're exhausted and you have a million things to do, God is just saying, hey, just show up. I just want you to show up, because he's producing faithfulness in you. And that cannot be created in any other thing than in the mundane, you know, in the everyday. And so this is one thing I just love about music and worship, you know, coming to service on a Sunday morning, is that you just show up and you practice living out the rest of your life. So you're not singing all day long. Actually, I kind of sing all day long. I sing when I'm worshiping all week long. But not everybody is like constantly thinking of songs or like singing to themselves. A lot of people do, but what we can do is allow the Sunday morning practice of worship be the, like, it's the it's the practice. It's practice time before the game. It's the training to go out and live your lives, fulfilling the gospel and worshiping God with your actions, with your heart, your lavav, which means heart, and it also means your thoughts and your emotions and your will. Like loving God with your heart, you practice that on a Sunday morning when you're in a worship experience and your heart is breaking for something, or God moves your heart towards something, or you're pouring out your heart to God. You know, we use these words, we use these metaphors. And then, you know, you're using your mind too, because you're thinking like through the sermon and through the words of the song, and you're pondering again and again and again. Sometimes we repeat the same words over and over so that we can really let them like sink deep into us, so that Monday comes along and that's still echoing in our hearts and our minds and our lives.
That's why good theology is needed in worship songs.
Oh, yeah.
Because it goes into your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also that Wednesday morning when things don't work out with the coffee machine or then that, when you're running late, you can still worship God with your intellect and with your emotions. Doesn't matter how you feel, and it would really create that deeper experience with God and commune with God.
Yeah, because we were practicing on Sunday to have joy and to be still and know that God is Lord and all of those sorts of things. And then we come to a Wednesday when the coffee maker isn't working, and we're like, okay, now I'm going to have joy. Now I'm gonna stop and take a breath and
go for it. That's awesome. Thank you.
So, yeah, I touched on earlier on about you having become you that could have become anything and that you wanted to be because you were a straight A student.
Oh, straight A's?
I'm just going to put that in. And, I mean, you do estimating for your father's job. I mean, really, that's like math. I think
it's estimating on pages and stuff. I think they're formulas nowadays.
Really,
it's really glorified coloring a lot. But
oh, really? Okay, sorry, wrong.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us a bit about how you found your way into your calling, and where, and you know, even age, where it started, where that desire became?
I honestly couldn't tell you the moment that I first felt called to be a worship leader. I can just tell you that when I was my niece's age, younger, my favorite song was Jesus Loves Me. And I would sing it and I'd be like, Jesus loves me. You know, I'd be like so extra with it as this little girl. But oh man, I sounded terrible. My brothers kept reminding me of that. But I always loved singing and I loved music, but it was always connected with Jesus. Just like those didn't separate. And you could probably blame that I've I was in a Christian school my whole life. I'm on my 20th year of Christian education. So, yeah, but I don't know. It was just always so important. And so that's like a foundational piece. And then I grew up in a tradition in my church and in the conferences I went to and the camp, like Christian camps I went to and all of those sorts of things, all growing up, where people were speaking into my life who believed in me. Random strangers to people who I knew and trusted, and they were saying, I see something in you. I see this call toward for ministry in you. And they and it bounced back. It echoed in my heart too, where I was like, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. And so my call has grown and shifted and all of that over the years. But I think it really started with singing Jesus Loves Me as a 4-year-old.
Yeah. So people confirm that.
Oh yeah, so many.
That's amazing, because obviously we all echo that, you know, confirmation of your life. But yeah. Tell us about share some of your best moments in worship. What do you think? What is that?
Yeah, I think a lot of those actually connect with that calling part. I grew up Pentecostal, so you guys may have seen that a little bit this morning. I grew up in a denomination where people would prophesy. They would come up to me randomly and they would prophesy over me these words of knowledge from God, and I'd sit with them and I would think if that really applied to me or not. But with the amount of strangers who never saw me sing, who would come up to me and say, you're called to be a worship leader. Like, I see you singing, or stuff like that. It was just like, okay. And, but then I also had this, I grew this connection for me between worship and hearing the voice of God through like him personally and through other people, because the amount of times that those sorts of moments happened, like it was nearly always, not always, but most of the time that happened, it was in one of these powerful worship experiences. And it transformed how I saw God, how I understood the world. I couldn't deny that God was real when I was going through those teen years, when I was, you know, looking around and questioning things. It was like, well, God is real, because I remember that one time when I was in worship and God clearly moved, and that cannot be denied. I felt the presence of God. Mm-hmm. He is real. I cannot deny that, you know. But yes. I guess kind of still a broad answer to
it is, yeah, the question. In a sense, it's ongoing. I recall, of course.
There's a story that I wanted to tell.
You want to tell the story before my comment? Yeah. Or well, you want the story first?
Before
the comment.
Story.
Okay. Story
first. So
you're waiting.
So Tori led worship with Trinity Christian Academy School. And
DCA.
Yeah. And so she was one of the number one worship leaders. And obviously your whole, your end of year project was about worship leading and all of that. And that's where we came in and we kind of helped you a little bit with that. And
you just answered questions.
Yeah. And so when you came, so your first year or when you graduated, I think? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had coffee. And then Tori came back. And I wanted to share a little bit of that, because that was like coming back and, you know, the big Cape Cod. She was on the big Trinity stage. No, it's not a big
not
stage.
Big.
It was a small, but she felt like sometimes that she was
like a big fish in a little
small pond.
Small pond.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That, that's exactly what you said.
Yeah. And big, so when, pond. I think that's where we actually also found the shift came, when we saw the different you when you came back. Can you tell, I mean, we know where we're kind of going, but can you speak to congregation about that, you know?
And before you answer, Tori, with Claudine, like, I'm talking the same thing that she's asking. I'm not, you know, I think it's important because we have a lot of young people. including my young person, daughter, who's looking up to young leaders like yourself and worship leaders and that. And I think it's important for them to hear this part that you're going to share, and also how that clarity on the calling and that nudges from the Holy Spirit and what He does in that process of pushing you into what Claudine was just sharing.
Yeah.
It's such an important part.
When I was graduating high school, I had this fear that I would be a big fish in a little pond going to, you know, an ocean and being like, oh, wait, I'm nothing. Ah, you know, and I was right in a lot of ways. The fear was grounded in somewhat of reality. You know, going from everyone knows me and they've seen me grow up and they know, like, you know, they've spoken over my life, you're called to ministry, to being in a place where no one knows me, no one understands that call, no one sees what I can do. And then being around a lot of people who are extremely talented, you know, going into a music department, every single one of those students was the best in their community. That's why they're studying music. But now you're all beside each other, and that's different. So my first year of college, I was, you know, worship leadership, so excited about it. I auditioned for the traveling teams and the worship teams for chapel and stuff. And I got rejected by the traveling teams and the worship, chapel worship. I was put in keys two. It was keys two, not keys one, keys two. And for one team, and it was like kind of the lowest bar team too, if you know how they do that. So I was like, okay, well, here I am now. This is my new reality. But God taught me so much in that year, and He humbled me, and He just showed me the value of every instrument on the team. Like, there's no hierarchy. It's not about, oh, you're a vocalist, so you're so much better than all these other people. But yeah, it definitely was like a, okay, well, here we are in this totally different arena. And I felt like a lot less. It was crazy, though, because I think going out of my sophomore year?
Mm.
Yeah, because I was like, listen, this is insane. I was a keys two player on the most least important team. And the end of my school year, I was approached by my professor, and he asked me to be the worship leader for one of the teams the next year. Like, that doesn't happen, but it did. And it was because God, like, saw, He tested me. And can I say this? Like, I don't mean to, like, toot my own horn or anything. Like, but, like, He tested me. I proved faithful and consistent. And then He elevated me in that, in the time that He wanted. And I'm just so grateful. Like, it's scary sometimes when you're like I did it again when I left Missouri, where I had all of these connections now after 4 years and networked and all of those sorts of things. And now I'm coming back to Massachusetts and I'll be forgotten by all these people and they're not going to know who I am anymore. And I'm back to rock bottom. Like, you know.
Yeah. I remember asking you, Tori, do you feel that taking the position at Living Hope is going to be a setback for you? And I remember us talking through that, and we all agreed that it was going to be a setup. God is going to set you up for bigger things, and that you have to be, you know, faithful in the little. And I mean, it is a little church, and we often say that this church, we punch above our weight. And I think you added to that. So that's a great story that I hope you guys caught that, you know, the significance of that in that whole story.
Yeah, because I think the big part in that conversation, that's why I keep pointing out to young people who are still finding the way and trying to understand what God's doing and their calling and all that. The idea initially, especially in the arts, so the creative arts or worship ministry in this instance, is instantly success arrived when you have a massive stage with a lot of lights behind you and all the television, all big screen things and thousands of people, and that means that you've arrived. It doesn't mean nothing. You understand it's about the depth of your worship and your willingness to be obedient to God where He calls you, as he trains you, takes you, you spend time in His word and all that. And if you say yes for a season to something tiny and insignificant and mundane, just to sort of be obedient to God, and then that's the process. And then sometimes, unfortunately, that gets a little mixed up with
yeah, and I the more I live, the more I'm like, the things that we think are little and mundane and unimportant are the things that God uses, you know, for the greatest impact. And I had one, you know, I'd had so many people say, you're going to do great things one day, you know, you're going to do great things. And it's like, oh, cool, I'm going to be famous. And I had my youth leader / now friend, mentor, Ina Taylor, she said to me one time, she was like, do you realize that how God defines great isn't how we do? Like, great things in God's definition isn't how people will define it. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with being a nobody in the world's standards, but doing great things for God in His? Yeah. So Living Hope, I am so grateful to be here, to have been here for this year. You're not just a stepping stone to whatever might happen next. Like, you are great. You are a great thing that I'm privileged to have been part of.
Yeah. Well, I think we like 5 minutes or 7 minutes left, but maybe some final encouragement you'd like to give to the church from you and all that. I just want to make mention of just knowing Tori in youth context out there, how she's, I remember where Sean, we were meeting at Faith over in the gym when they were much younger and energetic, a lot of them. Tori would generally be the one who's like, you know, believe it or not, very energetic, and she's loud and busy. And she can be loud and busy when the games kick in. Isn't it, Tori?
Once fell off a table.
Oh, now you're saying it. Yeah, and then we had to do this thing where the boxes had to be moved and you had to do whatever you had to win. And Tori got on top of the table. She wasn't supposed to get on the table, but she did, because that's what it was going to take to win, right? And Tori fell off the table. Now, over the years being in youth ministry, whenever a youth gets hurt in club or anything, you know, youth leaders get nervous and all that. And she's like, I won. I said, Tori, your arm. Said, it's okay. I won. I'm like, okay. And I had to call the next morning just to check in with Dad and all that. I said, nah, she's fine. She's happy. She won. She's fine. But that's just sort of, you know, hardworking but passionate as well. It's there. And but the two things that I've observed as you get ready to kind of give a wrap-up speech, your heart to be cross-cultural and be sensitive to be how God leads you and for the nations. I think we've seen that over the years develop in your heart. That's pretty big. And a significant piece was when you came back now after this part of your graduation and said, I'd like to come and still serve in the ministry where I served as a young person or in YFC and come and encourage other young girls and talk to them and be available for them. I'd like to do that. And also you, sorry to put you on the spot, sending kids to camp from your own personal, saying, hey, I'd like to sponsor a kid. That's a big deal, you know. So those things speak volumes of your character and your heart and humility for serving and the community that you are in specifically. So, yeah, thank you for that. Those are things we've observed and seen, how excited you are and can be and competitive and amazing and all that. But, yeah, not just amazing worship leader, but we have to point those things out. But, yeah, we're going to miss Tori. Amen. That's the church agrees. And of course, YFC will miss you. Everyone will miss you. Parents will miss you. But you're not gone. You'll be back. But any final thoughts you want to share with us so that we can wrap this up and pray for you?
I guess my one last thing on worship is just there's this verse that David says after he just, you know, committed this terrible sin. And he says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your faithful love. Created me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me. And at the very end of the Psalm 51, he says, the sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and humbled heart, God. And that's just the word that I would love to, you know, push on all of us, is just that humility that comes with being in the presence of God. That I definitely have not figured out. but I know that it's necessary.
Amen.
And when it comes to worship, we have the opportunity, by the grace of God, to be sanctified, to become more holy by being in His presence. But also that doesn't mean that we don't take everything to Him. You know, like, oh, you're holy, so you can't bring that up to God. That's not true. That's just not. It's not true. It's not reality. read the Psalms, go through the Psalms, and you'll see any topic is fair game when you're talking to God. Like, these psalmists are talking about war and killing people, and then they're talking about the glory of, and the majesty of God. Like, or they're just so angry or annoyed or frustrated or broken, or they're just, there's songs of lament where it's like, God, where are you? I don't see you. I don't feel you. And, you know, feeling one's way toward God, those are psalms too. Like, you can bring all of that to God. And again, with the one of the most powerful moments of worship that I've experienced, they have been when I was genuinely vulnerable and open with God. And those are the moments when people have come up to me. If I was up here and they, you know, they came up to me after worship and said, wow, that was, God really spoke to me today. Thank you. And it was, and I just hear God saying, like, it's because you were vulnerable. It's because you were authentic and you were real with all of yourself. And you humbled yourself before everybody by being willing to cry. You know, have that authenticity in your life and in your heart and with other people. And God will be able to do his work and move in your weakness. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Tori. So, yeah, I like that. True worship. True worship is about surrender and obedience. Surrender and obedience. It's pretty important. And thank you. We're going to ask Pastor Ben, the lead pastor of Living Hope Family Church, just to pray for you. And we can take it from there. Thanks for sharing. Anything else, Claudine?
No.
Are you sure? Okay. I just want to make sure that. Well, I did. Yeah, I did. I did pass. Did you see
did.
That?
You
yeah,
did.
I
You're
made my comment. Yeah,
You're
I came
husband.
Back and made sure I checked. So. Are you preaching now, right?
Yeah. We're not done. We're just getting started. Just kidding. So I just really appreciate that. I want Tori's words and their story to just remain in our hearts. All I'm thinking about right now is just gratitude that we're a family church. I've been, you know, part of a few churches before. They always have names. It's more than just like a name. It's like a reality that we get to share in 5 years, 10 years, ups, downs, and hear from each other. And I just really appreciate that. And thank you for having the courage to step in and be the leader that you are and be the worshiper that you are and share your heart and share your journey with us. And, you know, it'd be easy for me to say, well, I can't do any music, which is true. So thanks, Tori, for playing music. But it's not that. I mean, it is, but it's not that. What it really is the goodness of Jesus and the wisdom of Jesus to say, he can use me a little bit. He can use you a lot. He's poured into the two of you a lot and, like, been doing something. And this morning, the family gets to sit around and say, oh, look at what God's given us. Look at what God's grown among us. Look at what we get to share back and forth. It's not just, you know, me preaching the sermon I'm not going to preach. It's a family moment of learning from one another. And what a gift that is. So thank you. You're welcome back anytime. We look forward to the next time. And I just want to pray together as a church. It was only a few weeks ago that Tori was reading Proverbs 3. And she commented, she encouraged us from her heart and from the scriptures. You might know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. And she said, that's a great scripture. And how it's meant a lot to her, and she's learned from it. But then she said she was reading it recently, and something from that verse that, you know, Proverbs 3, not that many people quote it, not that many people go around saying, let me tell you what Proverbs 3, 3, and 4 say. But she encouraged us with that, and I want us to pray together. So I'm going to do my best to pray the scripture with Tori, with you, for her future. As the Lord spoke to her through his word, we pray these words for you. Please join me in prayer. Father, we've seen you do great things. Great things through Jesus, great things through the Holy Spirit.
great things at conferences and Christian gatherings, great things with people who had words of knowledge that Tori didn't see coming, and great things through humbling years when she was keyboard number two. And you are going to do and keep doing great things. And we thank you for all the work that you've done. We praise you for all the work that you've done. And you were speaking to her a few weeks ago, and we come before you now in prayer just to ask that Tori would not let kindness and truth leave her, that Tori would bind kindness and truth around her neck, that you would write them on the tablet of her heart so that she will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God and man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.